Well, welcome back, listeners, to another brand spanking new episode of the 30s Life Podcast. It's your boy Mookie.
And your favorite color in the world, brown.
And thank you for tuning in to 30s Life, where we break stereotypes, build legacies, and help others along the way. Our goal with this podcast, as you already know, is to redefine the Black experience. So we appreciate y'all for listening each and every day, not being stingy and giving to the needy, because everyone needs to hear the 30 to Life podcast. Now, Brown and I was just discussing Batman, or what's it called? The Batman. And Brown has some, hot takes about the Batman. So if anyone has watched, haven't watched the Batman, spoiler alert. Okay, Brown, do your thing.
All I'm going to say is that this was the most horrible Batman of all the Batmans ever. Like, I would not see a part two of this Batman series. First of all, what is DC doing? DC's putting all these Batmans together in so close proximity that it's just ruining the entirety of their whole, just image.
Extended universe, what they call it? Yeah, cinematic universe. Yes.
Yeah, it's just... Yeah. It's just, but anyway, let's go on this Batman. There were just so many wrong things about this Batman movie. One, you know, like we were just saying, that he didn't look healthy to me. He looked like he was recovering from cancer. Like, he looked like he had chemotherapy 12 months ago and he just finished, and now, you know, he's trying to fight crimes. That's one. Two, that Batmobile was the worst Batmobile ever. First of all, Batman is supposed to be a ninja, right? He's supposed to be some secret service ninja of all the ninjas, right? So what stealth-like was that Batmobile? That you could see that Batmobile coming from the next city over. Like, that, okay, all right. So that's two. Three, to move on, three was corny to me. I mean, like, he didn't even have no, like, I get the whole thing that he was only his second year in, you know, he's just learning the industry, I guess, or learning how to be a hero. He's still learning his fighting skills. But it was just, I don't like the way they put everything together. The best part about that movie was Lenny Kravitz's daughter, because she's absolutely gorgeous. That was the best part of the movie. But all in all, I mean, you said you gave the movie 8 out of 10.
Well, I got to go with a 2 out of 10. I got to rebut some of the things you said.
So what was good about the movie? Let's start with that.
But first, let me reply to some of the things you said. So, chemotherapy, right? Yes. Don't chemotherapy shame, first of all.
Like, no, I'm not like, chemotherapy. I'm going to tell you what he looked like. He looked like he just finished.
He looked like a survivor. That's what he looked like.
Yes, he did. Yeah, he did. Yes, he just survived cancer. He said,
yep. He saved his life, and now he's saving others. So that sounds like a great Batman to me. Two,
he was pale as hell.
He was very light-skinned. He was very pale, like he hasn't had any vitamin D or been out in the sun for a long time, right? Yeah. I think that's just his complexion. Like, I can't fault him for who he is, how he is, was born, right? But besides that, I thought it was a good Batman movie. I gave it an eight out of 10.
All right. And so in the context of all the Batman movies, where does that one stand? With Dark Knight, with Batman Begins, even the original ones.
It's been about 10 Batman movies probably in total. We add them up, including like Batman versus Superman stuff. It's like number 5 or 6 for me. Number 5 or 6.
That's not good, though. To me, yo, that's not good.
Well, no, because you got the Dark Knight trilogy, right? Yeah. I would say all of them was better than those.
Right.
You have Batman Returns.
Right.
Right. Or Batman, the original. And then it's better than all the other ones.
Nah. What ones is that one better than?
It's better than Batman and Robin. It's better than Batman Forever.
It's better than Batman and Robin.
Yes. That was, yo, don't look at it from your, when you was a child.
And no, how I much got it to. I'm there. Sorry. Nah,
watch it now. Go on HBO Max. Watch it now. And look how absurd it was. Nope, the daggone Batman suit had nipples on it. Like, you talking about the Batman and Robert Pattinson, no. Like, or
okay, what about Pattinson, the one
with the Penguin, but he's the actor's name?
Danny DeVito. Yeah. Batman Returns. That's my favorite Batman The Dark Knight. That's my favorite one.
Before the Dark Knight? Okay. Well, honestly, I can see why you do that.
Yes.
I can see that.
Everything before 2000, Batman Returns is my favorite, right? Because two, three, four Batmans, right?
Yeah.
We're not including like the 1950s and 60s Batman, but like the ones in the 80s and the 90s, like Batman Returns is my favorite. Then obviously we got the Dark Knight trilogy, and I think all of those are better than this one. Yeah, I'll put it either four or five in terms of the ranking for me. Where you
gotta put it last. I'll put it before the ones in the 1970s, whatever, 60s is always dead last as the bottom of the barrel for you. Batman does not look like he's intimidating at all. Like he
feel like when okay, spoiler alert again, but you know, like when he was like, I'm vengeance.
I thought it was bad. I rented it on Amazon for 2 days. I fell asleep on the first day because it was just not entertaining at all. It was just like, it was like watching paint dry. And then I was like, all right, I got to get through this movie to give it an honest effort. I got through it, and it was painful, man.
First of all, person who directed it did amazing with Planet of the Apes. So I love the cinematography and the shots in here. And then two, this Batman is in the second year. Like, what were you expecting from him? We got to see him in his infancy. We have to see him learning, making mistakes, having a horrible outfit and depressed and all this other stuff like that. He's just starting. You remember your second year on the job post college?
I don't want to go to a movie theater and see that though. I want to see some hard stuff. Yo, I want to be wild. I don't care about his childhood tribulations.
You didn't go to the movie theater. You was at home.
That's my. I'm glad. If I went to the movie theater, the first time going back to the movie theater in a long time, I'd have been missed.
You would have walked out, right?
It was horrible. I wouldn't have walked out, but it was. I'm not never going to see this trilogy or whatever they're going to do this whole Batman series again, ever again. Zack Snyder, like he should have did it.
Like I wanted to see Ben Affleck as Batman. I thought he actually had a great rendition of Batman, right? When Batman versus Superman and how he portrayed him, like in those scenes, like the warehouse scene. And I mean, some people, whoever's listening, first of all, we got a lot of listeners who probably do not enjoy what we're talking about right now. So first of all, hi, how you doing?
Okay.
And then two, we're wrapping this up right now. So I give it an 8 out of 10. Brown, what you give it? 2 out of 10.
2 out of 10.
But let's be in the middle. That's a 5 out of 10. Okay. Nah, I don't like that. I got to at least give it a 6.
All right.
Well, I mean, you can't win them all. I mean, it's free on HBO Max. If you a subscriber, like check it out and let us know your opinion of it. If you thought it was horrible, let us know. If you thought it was good, tag Brown at Brown to Life _ and tell him that he don't know what he's talking about, because I thought it was good. I mean, it was a good reimagining of the Batman, but nobody can touch the Dark Knight. Right.
Yeah, I think Dark Knight.
There's two
different world
superhero movies that are like 9.5 to me. Dark Knight and then Infinity War. I love Infinity War. Like that's my favorite Marvel movie. Like I can watch that over and over. Yeah. Did a phenomenal job.
I fast forwarded to the end scenes.
Oh, I fast forwarded for the end game. That I'll fast forward to that.
It's that last part, right? When Black Panther goes, Umbaya, and then you do that. I was like,
Captain, you're right. I can watch that over and over. Yeah. But anyway, speaking of Batman, he was an orphan, you know, and he didn't get raised by his parents, right? And it just made me think about like watching the movie. I was thinking about like just lessons I want to teach my kids, right? And, as you're raising them and stuff like that, maybe things that you didn't learn growing up and stuff like that. You're always like thinking about that. What about you, Brian? Do you think about like lessons you're teaching your kids?
I think about it all the time. My biggest thing is I want them to learn things that took me a while to learn. I want them to learn it sooner.
Yes.
Because I feel like if I could get them to learn it sooner, their life or their opportunities would present themselves a lot sooner than they presented themselves to me. And ultimately, it would lead them to a life of freedom that I am working hard to get sooner, you know? So yeah, like that, I definitely think about that a lot. Yeah.
You mentioned that you wish it was sooner. I'm curious, just, you know, cause we came from like a similar family structure. Was there anything that your parents taught you that you didn't listen and you're like, dang, I should have listened to them now? Yeah, or today? I mean,
plenty of things. The thing that comes to my head most immediate is the fact that life is hard. And I really didn't know what that meant.
So tell me the age where you thought it wasn't hard.
I mean, I would say up until 18, you know, up until like 18, 19, maybe. Even further. I'm gonna say up until 22. Yeah, up until 22.
Until you had to leave college.
Yeah, exactly. Like after college, like I just felt like the world just was like, yo, hold up. This is what it's really like. The veil just got lifted. But yeah, like life is hard. And I didn't realize like how life was hard. And I didn't realize how hard I would have to work. And that's another thing. Like, I don't want my children to work as hard as I do now. Like, even though I think that there's benefits in working hard, I think I don't want them to work this hard. I mean, that's just the best way I can put it. Because I work hard, you know?
Yeah, I think. Yeah, we definitely want our kids or the next generation always want the next generation to have it easier, right? Yeah. Or and I think we changed the word from like working hard. We want our kids to work smart, right?
Yeah.
Because you know, navigating new corporate, you can see people who work very smart and do like half the work, right? Like
yeah.
when you first got into like the corporate America, you was like, oh, how that person moving like lightning through corporate America, how to get in these promotions or how they build all these relationships and stuff like that. So sometimes it's, you know, it's like, you know, we are taught to work hard. Right. But we're not really taught to work smart. Mm. And that's what like the shortcuts to learn in life. Right. So yeah, I definitely didn't think about until I graduated, like the responsibilities that you have once you like get out of college. Right. You just kind of like, oh, this life is good. I'm, you know, 18, you know, 19, 20, chilling. 21, not even thinking about it, right?
Carefree.
And you got Sally Mae or, you know, one of these loan providers just looking at it, it's like, yeah, these numbers can really can't wait till he has to give us some money.
Salivating. Yo, salivating.
Yeah. So yeah, but when I think about for you know, my daughter, I think the first thing I want her to learn is like, you know, her confidence, right? Like keep that confidence always at the forefront. I want her to, you know, invest in herself, right? Right. Whether that's, you know, learning, reading, you know, taking, you know, chances, risk, you know, expanding herself, not being afraid to like just grow and develop, right? Because I think sometimes, you know, as parents, sometimes parents can put their fears on their children and it limits their, you know, potential and they stay in that box. Right. But I want my daughter to have the confidence to live outside of the box and look through things as, you know, the world is like her oyster and she can, you know, attempt, right. She can fail. She can fail forward and, you know, just learn from that experience and continue to grow.
Yeah. You know, one thing that I think that I'm going to do differently with my son that I didn't do with my daughter, and I wish I did. I wish that I hadn't given my daughter a tablet so early and let her use it so often. Not that she uses a tablet often now. Right now, her thing is the phone and the computer. But I wish that I didn't do it so much because it's so integrated into her life. And just like the phone is integrated into my life, you know, I mean, I think it might be a normalized thing now. Yeah, but I know with my son, he's not going to have that same freedom with the phone and the tablet like my daughter does. And it's unfair. Yes, absolutely. But as you get older, you know, you evolve and you learn. And I noticed that it might be beneficial to say, hey, all electronics off at 8 p.m., you know, just so they can find the time to want to do other things, like read a book or, you know, build something, play with Legos, something constructive. So sometimes with my daughter, you know, I'll say like, all right, even though she's almost 13, you know, I'll say, all right, you know, take turn, like put your phone away, or, you know, put your iPad away. Like, let's talk. Like, read to me. Like, I'll have to like force her to do these things, as opposed to I want it to be like sort of ingrained in my son to not, you know, always be on his tablet.
Yeah, screen time. Yeah. I think it's not even like a raising thing. I think it's just like our society in general, yeah. Right? Like, like everyone either has the iPad or their iPhone or, you know, their Android or whatever they have, and we just screen time, right? We on screen so much. And, you know, for a lot of people, like it keeps, just like it keeps us occupied and entertained, same thing it does for, you know, toddlers and children and teenagers. So it's just more of like, yeah, like one thing I want to implement, like when my daughter becomes a teenager and all that stuff like that, like no cell phones at the table, right? Like yeah. When we eat dinner and stuff like that, because it and yeah, even for me, I just be like, oh yeah, like you just your phone, you like, I don't know if you ever left your phone at home and like you went into the office, like,
oh yeah, feel, no, I would always do my little check and go back get it.
Oh, you would go back, you never left it before?
Yeah, I would always go back.
No, I left it one time and it was just like, it was like almost like withdrawal, like I'm yeah. like every time I'm checking, I'm like, oh, I don't have it, like it's like, but then you like, I don't know, I may try just once again, try it again sometime, but like we don't realize how attached we are to our phone. And we're like millennials, right? So we had like the first, what, 13 years of a life with no phone. Mm-hmm. But just imagine our kids, like how hard is it to separate from that? So yeah, you're right. I think that's a good, you know, call out, because like we have to be intentional to make sure our kids are, I mean, they're going to be even more connected to it than us, because we had, at least through up to us being teenager, not having a phone. So yeah, scary.
Yeah, because like we know how to live without it, even though we've had it more than we had it. Mm-hmm. But I think even the memory of just not having it is enough to get to a point where we don't really need it. And don't get me wrong, it will be hard. Like you said, we go through withdrawal, but I know what it's like to, you know, play board games or just, and to never have a cell phone. Like, you know, I know what it's like to go out with your friends and play. Like, you don't like, you don't really see, like, we used to go outside in front and play. I don't see kids outside playing no more. Like, either, I mean, unless they're at a park or something, but like, do kids go outside and play outside? Yeah, I rarely see that.
Yeah. It's a limited amount of neighborhoods that I like been around where I actually seen it before.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely a small percentage than what it used to be, because that used to be the thing, right? Like as soon, like before, you know, you go out to for dinner time, you went outside for a couple hours and then your parents came dinner time or whatever, or coming to the house or something like that. I was just talking about it earlier today. I was telling them like, where, remember, since you're a year older than me, I remember when I couldn't cross the street, right? And you always had to get the ball. And then when my parents let me be able to cross the street, then he was like, oh man, you got to get the ball all the time and stuff like that. So I just, yeah, we used to just go outside all the time. That used to be the thing. And now it's just like your phone, iPads, but video games were, when we started, like it took off like crazy. Yeah, but now it's just like, yeah, it's a whole nother world now. Like
people making livers off of it. Like, yeah.
No, but the craziest thing that I see now is that people pay to watch other people play games.
Yo, crazy. I was watching this T-Pain clip, and he said that he makes more money playing video games, like streaming it, than he did making music.
Yep. Mm-hmm. People love to pay watching other people play. It's crazy.
Don't get me wrong. Sometimes I you can kind of get lost in it, because I watched, because you know I still play Halo, and one time I was like, let me just go on Halo. Somebody look up some tips, because I was trying to get nice or whatever. And I really was like, I was engaged. I was engaged for like a good 30 minutes.
Yeah, because so I could see why it's people, like a V. Was it vlog? It's kind of like a vlog with video games in the same time, because they talk about topics and stuff. So it builds like a community, but it's just crazy that, I mean, back in the day we used to argue about who getting the worst controller and stuff like that, right? And stuff. Yeah, and now people are paying to watch other people play the game, right? It's just crazy. Like over what, two decades how stuff has changed so much. So it's just crazy. But yeah, definitely less screen time, being mindful of screen time is definitely, you know, a great lesson. So, yep.
But you mentioned confidence and, you know, so my daughter's almost 13 and, you know, confidence isn't something that I always had. It took me a while to be fully confident in myself or to like learn how to remember to be confident. And when, you know, as my daughter gets older, like I see that that is something that I know that I need to instill in her sooner, you know, in life. But I find it difficult. I do. It's challenging. I'm trying to figure out like different ways to get it. And don't get me wrong. Like, you know, I think that the more I talk to her, the more she gets it. But I will say that it is a challenging part of parenting is to teach your children how to be confident and to get them to the point where they are confident.
So what are ways that you act, what you're doing it?
You know, just constantly like affirmations, constant affirmations. Mm-hmm. And it's just like a barrage and helping her realize that she is powerful herself. Like, so I believe that I used to be an easy dad on her. Like, you know, I always gave her what she wanted, but like now I'm finding that I need to kind of turn those gears off a little bit and get her to think.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's interesting. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah, affirmations. I think that's number one, right? And then also just like your presence, right? Presence is also there, right? Like, and her knowing that, you know, she's capable of anything, and also allowing them to try stuff, right? Like, I just was running outside with my daughter, and like she fell mad times, and you know, not like, oh my God, what's happening? I'm just like letting her like see her, you know, pick herself out and everything like that. And just letting her keep on going. And yeah, she fell like four or five times. And she was just like, she kept on going. Right.
So how hard was it for you not to pick her up when she falls?
It depends. I like kind of look at her to see like if it actually hurts. Right. Yeah, cause sometimes like parents will make the kid think it hurts when it actually doesn't. And I think that's like a life lesson when parents are navigating through their like raising a child, like don't put something on them that they're not even thinking about themselves. Yeah. So we just watch and she gets back up and then she kept on running. Right. Yeah. And every time she do it, just make sure, you know, nothing, you know, she ain't break, you know, cartilage or, you know, got a scrape or anything. And she, you know, fine. She kept on running. And I think, you know, just using that example, I'm trying to make sure I like implement that throughout, you know, raising her. Cause it's your knee-jerk reaction is to be like, are you okay?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just gotta like look back and see how they react first before you react first. You know? Yeah.
It's also like a challenge to, I guess, not be in the mindset of, oh, I have to save my child all the time. Cause sometimes you have to let them fall and figure out how to get up themselves. Because there's going to come a point when you can't help them figure out how to get up themselves, and they're going to have to figure it out themselves. And I think that that's kind of the beginning of that growth. And, you know, so I noticed with my son, like, you know, there are very few times where he falls and I, you know, pick him up and console him. Like with his mother, he knows that he could cry and then she'll pick him up and, you know, she'll do her thing. No, get me wrong. A mother's, please, like I want her to keep doing that because that's important. But with me, I feel like I need to be a little tougher with him in that respect, just because he's a male, you know, just because he's going to be a Black male in America. That falling and getting up part is something that he's going to have to do his entire life. You know, that's part of just being a human, right? Like I said, interesting.
Yeah. I'm thinking about when you talk about the screen time, like the social media aspect, like just raising your children. I'm like,
Euphoria?
Euphoria. Oh, wait, what's that? Is that on HBO?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I saw some of it. Yeah. I think I saw. Yeah.
That make you that, honestly, bro, if you haven't seen it already, don't see it. But I will say that it's scary. It's scary when you think about what these kids now have to deal with, the amount of drugs in high schools and the amount of sex that they're exposed to in high school and the access to sex. And it's just, it's scary, man.
I can't even think about it, man.
Yeah, bro. Like, trust me, it's scary.
I know, man. How do you like cope with like the anxiety of?
I don't. Because it's a constant worry. Because right? You think about it, like they have TikTok, they have Instagram.
Which
they
I don't think Facebook. I don't think any child should be. I was trying, like, you know, even with like our account, like just the posts and stuff like that and everything. I'm like, yo, like some of this stuff, like you shouldn't be watching all the time, like a scene and stuff like that. So yeah. I deleted the app. I'm like, I'm not entertaining myself with this
yeah.
app.
Yeah,
like. And imagine if you like young adolescent, because people just want to go viral. I mean, the whole algorithm is like basically post something to go viral, right? It's algorithm with it. And it's just people will post or say whatever they need to like go viral. Yeah. And it's just like, it's scary, man.
It's crazy because, like, you know, you go on TikTok and you see like these beautiful women with like, and I guess the thing is them being in bikinis. And then I'm like, as a teen boy, if I would have had this, like, what the, like,
never leave the house.
I can't imagine what these teen boys are going through right now. Like, I'm speechless. And then the women that are on there, like, I'm like, these are somebody's daughters. Like, I'm like, if their fathers knew that they was on this thing half naked like this.
Well, yeah. Or just like, if you're watching it, right, you're like, okay, that's what I should do to get attention as well, yes, right? Like it forces that, right? We see for our generation, right? Where it's like, you're on Instagram, someone posts something, you're like, oh, you know, you got FOMO, or, you know, and you're like, oh, I wish I had that. Or like, I got to keep up with the Joneses, or I got to post this, I got to do that. Like we are already, you know, subject to it. So just imagine with this like TikTok generation, what they're subject to. So it's just, I think it's very important, like as parents, like screen time and like, watching like what our children consume on these platforms is like something that's important. But
the scary part is that you can't really see what they're consuming all the time, because like that you literally have to be over them, standing over them looking at their phone while they're looking at it. Like it's impossible to do that all day every day. So it's like you have that in between where you just gotta, I guess, get to a point to teach them that as best as you can.
Yeah. And limit it. You know, all you could do is limit the amount, right? I mean, that's the goal, right? To limit as much and then, you know, block access with certain things, right? Like, you know, parental accounts. Well, I ain't look at them yet, but like, you know, you only can watch this or you only can watch that, or you only can, these words you type in, you can't view, right? Like it gets deep like that, especially with Apple, but it's definitely tough. But I was thinking as far as like other things I wanted to talk or teach my daughter is about like saving and like money principles. Mm-hmm. So like right now, like she, you know, has like a piggy bank and like, you know, every time like go in the store, just make sure that she knows like everything costs money, right? Nothing's free, right? Like, and I'll like give her like, you know, my card, but like, hey, we got to pay, like you gonna pay this time? And then I give the card and like she put it in. So she knows like there's a cost to everything. Mm-hmm. And then we also got her like a cash register, right? So like she's scanning and scan. So she knows like you got to use a card or something like that to pay. You can't just walk out and like, you know, and nothing's with it. But I definitely like what like lessons I want to teach is one of the examples that I heard at this conference was this grandmother, right? And I'm just thinking like my child like starts working or something like that, right? And I'm like, oh, you got a job, oh, you gotta pay rent now or something like that, right? And I'm gonna take, you know, the money,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then I'm gonna save it over some time, right? Yeah. So let's say she gets like a summer job in June. I'm like, oh, you got to pay rent. It's, you know, $15 a month or something like that. Yeah. And just collect it. And so she start working. And at the end, give it all back to her and be like, hey, like, you know, teaching her like saving, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And different things like that. And I thought that was dope when the grandmother did it to her grandson. And he was like, oh, I got to pay. And he paid it. And then they saved throughout the year and then gave it right back to him. And it's like, this is the importance of saving. And then like, he was like flabbergasted. I'm like, yo, that's a dope tool and stuff like that. So yeah, the importance of saving, the importance of like, just like investing in yourself, right? Like, you know, businesses too, right? Cause you remember when we were young, we used to sell like some stuff and everything like that, but just like enforcing that more, right? Like lemonade stands or whatever it is, like just the entrepreneurship side of it, right? Like building that, like teaching them about that is important. I think I'm going to do as well, because I did it, you know, one-offs and different things, but like having something that we're trying to create, you know, constantly. So like she thinks about like being a business owner.
Yeah, I mean, I see why you feel like that's important, because our society is a business society. Like capitalism is really the way our society works. And you're teaching her capitalism at an early age, in a sense. You're teaching her that it's important to have a business and not be a worker. I mean, because essentially you're a worker, you're confined. You're unfortunately in a maze, given the context of capitalism. But you mentioned that you want her to know that everything has a cost. Why?
Okay, so I was having this conversation earlier today too. So remember when we were growing up, when did you go out to eat?
When did I? Not much, but maybe it was like a special occasion to go out.
Yes. Okay. So now, like, obviously we're a consumer driven economy, right? But we used to only go out to eat like birthdays and graduations, right? For the most part, right? Anniversaries maybe or something like that.
It was a treat.
Exactly. There used to be like one or two televisions. There was one phone. You know, Tim's used to, it was like, I have one pair of Tim's, right? Like the materialism is crazy nowadays, right? And you the growing up, they thought like, I ain't have no money or anything like that, right? But now, like, if you really don't have any money, you still go out to eat. You still have the latest Apple product. Yeah, you still have Jordans. You still have, you know, different things. And I was saying like we like consume. My wife says all the time, like, luxuries are now necessities, right? Based upon when we grew up. And I want her to know, like, one, like, she needs to know how we used to live back in the day. And then two, like, we shouldn't be just spin, right? We got to be more conscious of everything has a price. And also, like, the more we spend, the less we can invest, the less we can, you know, invest in yourself, your business, stock market, your family, right? So I definitely want her to be aware of it and just think about it. Like, it's just money doesn't come out of thin air, because that's how kids are today, right? Like, everyone got the, what is it? Where are we at? PlayStation 5 now or 4? Mm-hmm. I can't remember which one.
Yeah,
so everyone, like, kids that I know, like, they have these stuff. And me and you, we used to have to wait like 2, 3, 4 years. And we shared games. Like, you would have some other games and we have the other games. But now it's like, it's so normal. Yeah. I just be like, where is all this money coming from, right? Yeah. If everyone's like living the same kind of like, and so it's just more of like, I'm thinking of that. Like, I need her to know this, like, mommy and daddy does not just have money that we can throw anywhere and get you everything, right? And obviously, like, kids want everything, right? And we're still going to give them more than what we had. But I think it needs to be, they have to be given context. You have to let them learn, like, hey, every time we go to the store, we can't get you something. Or, you know, if we do go out to eat, like, this is a treat, right? Like, we there's some reward-based system to it.
Yeah.
But it's still, it's hard, though. But I'm just, like, more mindful of it, right? Making sure that she knows it's a cost and everything like that. Because, of course, eating out is like normalized and stuff like that. We do it, but it's just more of like, we don't want it to be an everyday thing. We want it to be like, hey, Fridays, maybe Saturdays, like, we're going out to eat or we're doing something like that, but not like, hey, we just do it just because and stuff like that. And it's hard navigating it, but I'm just conscious of it because I know how we grew up and everything that we thought was luxury is now like normal. And everyone's like, I got to do this. And we just sometimes have to step back and be like, okay.
Yeah. I'm thinking like date night. Like I never heard of my parents go on date night. And like people go on date night, they go on date night every week. Like that, in the way dates cost now and how much they cost now. Come on, that date night stuff gotta add up to
like, I don't know. I'll be looking at these birthday parties. I'll be like, these birthday parties be looking like weddings and stuff like that. I'm like, do I gotta pay for my plate? Like, what's going on?
Yo, and then yo, oh man, it's so true. It's so true. It's like, how often did you have a birthday party when you was little?
I remember the ages. Five was a major milestone, right? So I had Ninja Turtles, I had a clown, like, yeah. But it was at my house.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, like, yeah.
It wasn't at a wedding venue.
Yeah, like I'm thinking like my daughter was like, I gotta have a birthday every year. And I'm like, did you have a birthday every year? And I'm like, yeah, we did something every year for your birthday. Like, I only got like three things, like three times. No, probably more than that, but it wasn't every year we celebrated my birthday. I'm just thinking of how things really just changed. Like, are we raising, like had the times that we created made this
entitlement? That's what it is. We have created, so our generation is more like, you know, self-care, have fun, you know, go on vacation, all stuff like that, right? Which, you know, and, you know, with balance is fine, but we also want to make sure our kids have that same experience plus more.
Yeah.
So all it's going to do is like when they get older, you know how we were when we graduated, we were like, we black men graduated. we deserve the world. What do you think our kids are going to be like?
Wow. That's scary.
Right. Because we didn't even get, we got, I would say 10% of what our kids are getting right now, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know if you don't think about it like and control it now, like the entitlement's gonna be through. They already call our generation the entitlement generation. Yeah. So I don't know what our kids' generation is gonna be.
Yeah.
They have everything and more, right? So it's gonna be interesting, but
what are you going to do though? Like, what, like, because like you said, society is so impactful. Like, you got your home environment, which is what will be like, I guess in business terms, that'll be your internal environment. But that external environment, which is society in itself, that's a challenge to combat. Like, because kids always want to fit in. Like, that's like the one thing that my daughter will talk about is just trying wanting to fit in.
And yeah, I'm scared about that too. Like, bro, fitting in.
It's coming,
like,
bro.
It's coming. Just scared about it because I'm like, so like us, like our peers, right? Like, had the same mindset, right? On a lot of things, right?
Yeah.
In terms of maybe, you know, video games, play basketball, stuff like that, right? But like, your peers are part of like your raising experience. Mm-hmm. Like it's the same raising experience. So that's, yeah, depending on like who your like friends and stuff like that during that time, it could shape like, oh, such and such got a new car. I want one too. You'd be like, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, or it could be diverse, but like, hey, like, you know, my father said I can't get a car until I graduate college. Oh, okay, like that. That's really nice. You know, instead of like 16-year-olds getting the car, 15, because I ain't getting no car in the 15 to 16. So, you know, but depending on where you live, you may have to get a car. So it's just like, it's a lot to think about, man.
And then you got to think about all the responsibilities that they have with all these things at an earlier age. So you have, so you have more responsibilities, then you have more distractions. How do they do it?
We need a millennial parents group chat.
Yeah, seriously.
You got it. We got to change. We got to figure this out, man.
Stay strong, everybody.
We're trying, you know, but yeah. If you have any opinions about raising millennials, I mean, millennial parents raising the next generation, feel free to add us on 30 to Life Pod or on Instagram or go to our YouTube channel. Oh, let me talk about this, right? So one, our YouTube channel, just launched it about 5 weeks ago. And yeah, so if you like hearing us, you can now watch us, right? There's about 5 or 6 episodes on there now. So hit that subscribe button. You guys haven't been stingy on the podcast, but don't be stingy on YouTube either. So if you subscribe, make sure you share as well, right? And yeah, this is a Barbershop Talk episode. So the next couple episodes, we're gonna have an actress. We're gonna have a venture capitalist on that episode too. So look out for those episodes. So I'm excited for those. Brown, I know you got some interesting questions to ask, right? So let's do it. Then we have some mental health advocates on as well. So, you know, it'll be a little different topics that we're going to cover, but we appreciate everyone just listening to these episodes. We appreciate just the support, and we're going to continue redefining the Black experience. It's your boy Mookie.
And your favorite color in the world,
and we out. 30 to life.
Peace.